Blog Talk Radio.
Read the scripture, please, Eric.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you join us every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'd now ask that you would join us in our devotion. Tonight we're going to have Dr. James Nooks sing a song for us because of who you are. Then we will have the scripture read by Eric Jefferson, and then I will close or really open us in prayer. Dr. Nook.
Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Nissi. Lord, you reign eternally, Jehovah Shalom. You are my Prince of Peace, and I worship you because of who you are. Yes, I worship you because of who you are.
Amen.
Amen. Our scripture tonight is found in the book of Psalms, the 133rd Psalm. It reads as such: How wonderful it is, how pleasant when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the fragrant anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard, and onto the borders of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life evermore. I read for you from the 103rd book of Psalms. And Lord, I bless into the reading and understanding and doing of his word.
Amen. Amen. God, we come before you tonight, and we just want to glorify your name. We want to thank you, Lord, because we truly want to understand the clarity that we have, all of us, one Father, one God that created us. We praise you as we walk into this understanding and dialogue about harmony and unity. Lord, we ask that you open our eyes to the word, that we might see spiritually what you would have for us to see tonight. And that as we share with our radio audience, they may come to know you in a special way. We ask these blessings now be with our teacher, Brother Jefferson, as he leads us through the text and help all of us in the studio audience be a part of that dialogue. We thank you now. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well,
amen.
We are so excited, we always are, to have Brother Eric Jefferson teach us again tonight. And tonight he's picked this awesome topic: what does God say about unity and harmony? So he's got this wonderful agenda for us this month. And it begins as he read the foundational text of Psalms 133, 1 through 3. He has five phenomenal lessons for us this month, and the questions he poses is, where does unity start, and that's the first week. The second week is, who is the tie to unity in God? The third question is, what does God say about one body? The fourth question, why should we strive for unity and harmony? And the final question we'll be answering through him this month and the word is, what does the unity and harmony look like? So, Brother Jefferson, if you are ready to lead us down that path of being enlightened, let's go.
Thank you, Dr. Susie. Thank you all who have joined us this night. First, I'd like to get a roll call to see who we do have with us this evening. I know we may have some who are not speaking tonight, and that's fine. But I got Dr. Nooks, Dr. Susie.
That's presently all that's speaking tonight so far.
All right. Well, welcome all that are listening. And so after last month's looking at justice, I wanted to take a look at harmony and unity as it relates to what God has to say about that. Because I am concerned that we've kind of forgotten what that looks like, and that we should be trying to foster that in our homes, in our communities, in our churches, in our places of business. And we've kind of just kind of forgotten that. We've kind of, not saying all Christians, most Christians, just saying that you can see a lot of Christians that have kind of gone by the way of the world, and those things of unity and harmony just don't exist. But God clearly says in the book of Psalms, in the 133rd book of Psalms, to be exact, that I read for you, that it is pleasant when brothers live together in harmony. That harmony is as precious as a fragrant anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's beard. And we know that the anointing oil was very special to God, to have that created to anoint Aaron and his sons as the priests for Israel. And so there's some great significance of that, and that harmony is as precious as that oil. Then harmony is pretty precious to God, because as you remember, God told him to create that oil and not to use it for anything else other than what he designed for it and what he called to be put in it. And so from my perspective, harmony and unity is very important. And so for the next 5 weeks, I want to take a look at that topic. And I apologize, I was putting all the information in early in the morning, and what I really want to say was, what does God have to say about harmony and unity in our lives and in the church? And so we want to take a look at that. So I've outlined three scriptures that I want to look at tonight to have some dialogue and some conversation, and that when we get through tonight, that we may look at where unity starts. I don't think you just wake up every morning with the mindset of, oh, well, I want to be in unity and harmony with everyone. I know most mornings I wake up, I'm just trying to chase the demons away so I can get started. So I know I ain't thinking about trying to be in harmony with anybody. I ain't even in harmony with myself at this particular point in time. So, I mean, we need to be real about that. And so let's look at where that starts. And first I want to look at Malachi. Chapter 2, verse 10. And I really
did want to say something, Brother Jefferson.
Yes.
Can I say something?
Absolutely.
Just real briefly, because I don't want people to think that it's just brothers, because the translation can be brethren, it can be kindred, it can be people. And in many translations, it is the people of God can live together in harmony or unity. So some of our people take things literally from certain translations, and I just want them to be careful.
Thank you,
about
Dr.
that.
Nooks. Absolutely. Thank you, Dr. Nooks. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And when we finish this month, it is my desire and my hope that we really do come to the understanding that God expects those people that are called Christians to live in harmony.
Amen.
He doesn't wish they do. He doesn't hope they do. He expects that they should.
Amen.
And so if someone could read, tonight we want to look at where does unity start? And I want to look at Malachi 2:10.
I've got it.
If someone could read that, could you read that, Dr. Notes?
Yeah. Are we not all children of the same Father? Are we not all created by the same God? Then why do we betray each other, violating the covenant of our ancestors?
Yeah, and so this is, what translation was that, Dr. Noakes?
That's a New Living Translation.
Okay, let me read the King James Version.
Okay.
Mine is a little different, too, in the NIV.
Okay, well, let me read the King James, and then we'll listen to the NIV, because I do want us to really unpack this one scripture. This is the King James Version. Have we not all one Father? Have not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Let me hear the NIV, Dr. Susie.
The NIV says, have we not all one Father? Did not one God create us? Why do we profane the covenant of our fathers by breaking faith with one another?
Yeah. So we've read three. What are you taking from those three as you listen to those, Dr. Nooks?
That we should be working together and not working against each other. We are all from the same God, same Creator.
That
is so significant in our time when we see, you know, racial violence and people picking out people, you know, targeting people, police, you know, looking for certain people in stores and biases that arise. And we get this racial thing, and racism is a human, man-made entity. It's not, doesn't have anything to do with biology.
Amen.
Because a black person and a white person can be closer than two black people as far as genes are concerned in DNA. But we have, we've created this thing that we're so different, and we're all created by God. We're all sisters and brothers, and yet we sit up here and fight each other all the time. It's just crazy.
Amen.
Absolutely.
But Eric, the messenger says, don't we all come from one Father? Aren't we all created by the same God? So why can't we get along, Rodney King? Why do we desecrate the covenant of our ancestors that bind us together? The key is, why do we desecrate the covenant right there.
That binds us together.
That binds us together. And for me, that's a travesty. It's really a problem. So it really messes with my heart for our worldview. If we look at the worldview that we have now, and, you know, bump the worldview. Let me back it up. Our national view. I have never seen it to be so devastating as it is now. Oh, no.
Well, I think we have. I mean, you know, it is absolutely crazy. There's no doubt about it. But let me back up just a little bit for the group's. The group that is out there, and that is that if we can't, and believe me that this is true, and most of you can figure out families, you know this, if we can't get siblings in the same household to live in harmony with the same DNA, most times the same fathers and mothers, how can we get and we can, but how, and I want to know, how can we get us who are reborn again and created in God's image and saved from our sins and regenerated and given new life to do what God has been asking us to do? Do we not believe in the power of Christ's blood, death, and resurrection? Or are we just going to do what we want to do because God's power doesn't have any power in my life until I want him to have power in my life?
I hear you. I hear you.
And that's the killing part is that, you know, Dr. Sue, you're absolutely right. It hurts your heart because, you know, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, and we know what Christ was, and that's supposed to be our example. And we say we're Christ-like by taking on the name Christian, which means Christ-like from the very beginning. And yet we treat God's command to us and covenant with us like it doesn't mean anything. And that's the disheartening part to me, because I ain't saying that people don't get on your nerves and cause you issues and problems, but the scripture says if your brother offends you, go to your brother and have a conversation with him. If he won't hear you, take a witness or two. And if he don't hear you, then go back to the church with the matter. Didn't say, you know, cuss them, fight them, shoot them, cut them.
Yeah, and Brother Teacher, I don't think we think.
Amen.
We don't take time to even reflect sometime. That person that doesn't like me, or I think doesn't like me, is a child of God just like I am. And that they were made in the image of God just like I was. And we react humanly, and the spirit seldom enters in to our thought processes.
And amen.
We react physically and emotionally instead of spiritually, and that's a sad.
Because it should be the other way around. It should be the other way around, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it says we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But most of the time we walk in the flesh, and every once in a while when we trip, we'll look up and think about the Spirit. So the walk of the Spirit is not what we do on a regular basis, and we ought to be striving for that. But when somebody makes us mad or upsets us, then it's hard for us to step back and say, oh, wait a minute, what does God want me to do? Instead, we react, and we get mad too. And then we start an argument, and then we have division, and we have separation. And
then we leave the church.
Yeah, our pride.
We leave the church.
We don't even want to say, come back and say, wait a minute, I messed up. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. And we have a culture that encourages us to not ask for forgiveness or to say I'm sorry. Just like we got a candidate that doesn't say sorry, you know. We have people that cheer that. I mean, they think that's great. You don't ever say you're sorry. You're so tough, you know. And that's the exact opposite of what Jesus teaches us when he bowed down and washes the disciples' feet. You know, do as I've done, you know. And when we see people that will do that, then we think they're weak instead of understanding that they're strong. You know, our minds have to be changed.
Absolutely, Dr. Nooks. And I guess I would pose to anyone else that's out there is, you know, the world says that that's weakness, but we know that that's strength. What do you think makes that the strength? That you don't react in that manner. That you fight the natural instincts of, you know, the world of don't let anybody take advantage of you. Don't let anybody get over on you.
But Brother Eric.
I
just wanted to share with you that we're having some technical difficulty, and they're sending me a flag, and they're going to actually have to restart us at 7:30, but we can still continue on with this one, but they'll restart us again at 7:30. So I apologize. But so, you know, we can go on for as long as you can go, because I know you're limited on your time. So,
yeah, I'm in Arkansas, but I'll try to stay as long as I can. And so,
okay.
But what makes the strength of not reacting the way that the world reacts to being as Christ was? We know that Christ was all power, all power. And yet, Dr. Nooks, go ahead, Dr. Nooks.
I was going to say, when you can react the way God says that we should react, and we walk in the Spirit, it's saying that we have the strength to overcome what is naturally in us. And,
amen.
And then to rely on God for direction. That's hard, because for us to react naturally is what we do. I mean, but when we say that I'm not going to do that because I'm a spirit being and not just a physical being, then it's hard to, you know, have somebody say something to you and you want to say something back, you want to slap them upside the head, but then you hold off and say, no, I'm not going to slap you upside the head because that's not what God wants me to do. That's hard. That's not easy. It would be easier to slap him upside the head or say something to him, you know.
Dr. Susie is from Tulsa area. Wasn't that bit, oops, upside your head?
I was sitting here thinking about that, Brother Eric. I was not, that's why I cracked up when you said that. It was like, whoop, go gap.
Yeah. And we have some other examples of that. I mean, wasn't that Gandhi? Wasn't that King?
Yeah.
I mean, King and Gandhi, in the face of all that they were enduring and going through, they chose to show strength and not retaliating when people, you know, sick dogs on them and hoses and put them in jail and beat them and, you know, said all kind of manner of evil things about them.
I even remember on one of the sit-ins, somebody threw coffee in the face of some of the people who were nonviolent just to see if they would respond.
Yeah, and then to do that, to not respond, is knowing that we are of one Father. We are of one God, the God who created and made us, who I've always submitted is that, you know, God breathed the breath of life into man to make him a living soul. Man was dust. God formed him and breathed the breath of life, which that life, that breath is in us as well. And I think the unrestlessness that I had in my life was always trying to fill that spot that God breathed in me. And it wasn't until I became aware of that and pursued that in reading the Word and in fellowship and in prayer and in devotion with the Lord on a daily basis, not just when I was in trouble, but on a daily basis, I began to see a change in me, because I used to be of the world and you did something to me, I was trying to do something to you. Sometimes I was forthright about it and sometimes it was underhanded and sneaky. Didn't make me no difference as long as you got for what you did. But in Christ now, I can come to you and have that conversation. Hey, I didn't appreciate that. Let me tell you why. I just want you to know. Or if I realize that I'm wrong, to come to you and say I was wrong for that, I apologize for that, and let's move on. And that's being authentic and being in Christ, because Christ didn't back down from folks who opposed him. He stood his ground and spoke his peace.
Yeah.
You know,
And you know, Eric, Brother Eric, it's kind of as though people don't want to acknowledge the fact that, you know, Jesus said enough is enough sometimes.
You know, absolutely.
When he went into the courtyard and was ticked, you know, he showed an emotion, a feeling. He
absolutely.
Was ticked because his father's house was turned into a den of thieves.
Yep.
And it says he got violent. he picked up a book
yeah,
of some spanking folk.
Started running them out of there, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. So it's hard for us to think sometimes see that aspect of God being a judging God or challenging us on our core values or lack thereof.
But right, absolutely, Dr. Susie. And so we are looking at where does unity start? So in this scripture, it's telling us that unity starts with God and us. We're all of the same Father. Don't we all have the same Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, each man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? And he's asking a real question. Why do we do that? Why do we deal treacherously? Why are we profaning the covenant of our fathers? We talk about what we reverence our fathers and you know and remember them and all that, but yet we do just the thing that they would hate, that they would not like, that would cause disappointment. You know, and I know this group has heard me all a long time ago. You know, I could do things, and if my grandfather gave me that look of disappointment, it was just like daggers in my heart. Because I've disappointed him. I've let him down by my actions of something that I did because I always wanted to uphold his respect in the things that he instilled in me. And when I went out there and did something stupid, sometimes he didn't have to say a word. He could, you know, and you that who had that kind of relationship with the parents know that if they looked at you and you could see the hurt and disappointment in their eyes, that it affected you. And God is
yeah.
looking at us like that because we're saying that we are your children. We are Christ's brothers and sisters through his death and resurrection and we are all in, and yet we go out there and we can't live in harmony with our brethren. And clearly, you know, most of that, in all honesty, God is talking about those that are in covenant with you, which are in the church. And it's not until you can do that that you can then spread out to have that type of relationship with others who are not in the church. But you got to do it in the church. And it has to start there. But I submit that sometimes we probably don't have harmony with ourselves.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I wonder if we realize that God is there, that God is here, that God sees us. I don't think we sometimes realize that it's like you said, your grandfather, if he looked at you, you would react. I don't know if all of us realize that God's looking at us even right now.
Amen, Dr. Nooks. Amen. Every action, every thought, every deed. And so let me read this scripture to back that piece up. Let me find it here. This is Ecclesiastes 12, starting at verse 13, and this is the New Living Translation. Here is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commandment. For this is the duty of every person. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. It didn't say some things. It
Amen.
Didn't say most things. It didn't say only good things, and it didn't say only bad things. Everything.
Everything.
That means that little thought you have about, yeah, I don't like him, I'd like to go over there and so-and-so, so-and-so. That's that little backhanded comment. Oh, you think you this, you think you that. That's that little comment where the sister walk into church and you standing there talking to your girlfriend, oh, look at her, da-da-da. Anything and everything. Yeah. And we need to be mindful of that. Because it absolutely is not supposed to be in the church. And when we can get it to the point to where it's not in the church, then we can take it to outside the church, which is where we will get people who are not of the church to come back to the church. Because I honestly believe with everything that's in me that people are not coming to the church because they're looking at the church and saying, I don't need to act like that being a part of that institution.
Right.
I can do that without being a part of that institution.
And you know,
so we're
the reason why, and proof of that, Brother Eric, is that we've lost a generation of people. And we continue to have people who don't see the value in spending an hour and a half, 2 hours at church when they could be resting, preparing for work.
Absolutely.
And frankly, I think it was Dr. Nooks and I who were talking about different faiths, including the Christian faith. When we got people in seminaries and churches and schools and places of supposedly biblical or spiritual learning, and those places don't believe in the faith that they profess. You have people who don't live in a way that honors a relationship with God. They don't purport that. They don't act that out. They don't believe that. And so when they see other people are observing that, why would they?
You would.
Amen.
I've always submitted that, you know, people don't really, you know, they don't want to, they don't really care how you act on Sunday morning between, you know, 9:30 and 11 for Bible study and Sunday school and then going to service if you're traditional Baptist at 11 o'clock till 1 and, you know, maybe a Sunday night service. They really want to know how you looking and how you acting Monday through Thursday when you're on the job, when you're interacting with people where you think nobody's really paying attention, or you think you can just say and do what you want to do and then go, you know, Sunday morning and try to appease God and saying that, I've sinned, but really not confessing, really not owning up to them. And then walk out of there like, you know, okay, I'm clean. And I submit that you're not. You're just as filthy as you was when you came in. I don't know that to be true of everyone. I just know that that's my perception of how it is with me when I don't go in the right posture with the right mindset and owning that which I have done. Because I know that the God I serve is a forgiving God, but he's also a God of accountability. I mean, when your parents raised you, they gave you some accountability. I know my grandmother used to say, what's your name? You know who you are, right? Yeah, I'm Eric Jefferson. Then go out there and act like it. Go out there and act like a Jefferson. So I'm a child of God. Go out there and act like it.
I think we do God a great disservice when we limit worship to 2 hours a week.
Amen, brother. It's supposed to be every day, all day.
Amen. And I think that's
365, 724, and twice on Sundays.
And that has an effect on people that may be skeptical about being a part of the church, is that the church is not 2 hours a week. You know, it's every day, all day long, and we should be in worship at times other than a couple hours on Sunday and maybe
absolutely
an hour or two on Bible study on Wednesdays or whenever we have it. That's if that's all it means to be a Christian, then we've missed the boat. And our influence is diminished. And when you can say, well, I'm out of church now, I can act like myself. Well, wait a minute. Who are you?
Who are you?
Yeah.
Who are you?
And who are you?
Yeah, we should be striving to be in church and worship, because, you know, we know, and let's clear this for the audience, that the church isn't the building that we go to. It's these temples that we are. Like, that's the church. And we take them to that building that we call a church, that we can fellowship and draw strength and encouragement from one another. That's why we should be worshiping and praising and honor God in a place that we have called a sanctuary, but we know that God is everywhere. And we should be striving for worship and fellowship with God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Let me say this, Dr. Nixon, finish. I used to hear some old folks say back in the day, don't make me lay my religion down.
Yeah.
And that meant that they was going to get to themselves, as Dr. Nook said, that they was going to do some stuff and then pick their religion back up. And I'm like, what? And, you know, as a kid, you hear that, and you're like, you know, what does that mean? I'm not sure I gather that. But then as you get old, you're like, you're not supposed to be laying your religion down.
No.
Yeah.
Oh. And so you had some documents before I move to the next question.
Yeah, I was just going to say that affects the unity that we're supposed to be having, that what you're teaching about. If my only time for worship is 2 hours a week, we ought to be in worship when we have business meeting in churches.
Hallelujah.
I think some churches think that business meeting time is not supposed to be a time of worship. That's a time to take off the gloves and act like your human self and not your spiritual self. I've seen some of the most hateful people, hateful acting people in business meetings in churches. Worse than I've seen in business meetings in business, in the corporate world. And so you don't, if we understand that we are in worship with God, we're in connection with God all the time, then it ought to affect how we are in unity with one another outside of the
world. We're hearing some sort of background noise.
Yeah. I don't know what that is.
I got it. Thank you.
But you're right, Dr. Nooks. We should always be there. We shouldn't lay it down. We shouldn't think that we can come in and out of it. It should always be a part of us, on us. We should live it, wear it, breathe it in, taste it, feel it,